SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final on this Friday on the early line that we are dubbing a football Friday for the first time ahead of the 2024 NFL season, as we have a triple header of preseason action on this Friday around the National Football League in week number one of preseason games. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We set the stage for this weekend, not only in the National Football League, not only with the triple header of action we have tonight, not only with the nine games that we have coming your way in the National Football League preseason tomorrow on a Saturday, but also the final weekend of action over in Paris at the 2024 Olympic Games. Gold medal matches all over the place to break down for you here as we enter the weekend on the early line.
But will you be watching, by the way, on Sunday, the closing ceremonies out there? I seem like people get excited for the opening ceremonies, but nobody really pays attention to the closing ceremonies. Like, why is that? We're just upset. We're done with it. It's like vacation's over. Let me hit the road early. Like, why aren't we so excited for the closing ceremonies?
I think it's exactly that sentiment, right? Once the weekend has come to a close, you just want to kind of hit the books and get back home. I don't really expect to tune in for closing ceremonies. There's so much hope and optimism and excitement for the opening ceremonies. It's a grand festivity to kick off the Olympiad. It feels like it has the pageantry to it. The closing ceremony is like, all right, great fun, good 2 weeks. See everybody elsewhere and in other points. I'm excited for the final weekend of games and matches and gold medals to be decided. Not necessarily the closing ceremonies, however.
But see, I think we could spice it up. Like, again, you make me commissioner of the Olympics here. Like, I'm putting, like, let's just say the finals, like, if you run the 100, like, we run, like, another 100-meter dash. Like, hey, look, you wear the gold medal, you wear the silver, you wear the bronze. Let's just run it out here to give the people one last chance. Sydney McLaughlin goes around the track one more time at the closing ceremonies, like, holding up the torch at that point. So, I mean, there's ways that you can make this fun, as opposed to why are we wasting time with this? And quite frankly, by the way, does any of the athletes skip it and just go home already? Like, I'm not even staying for this at this point now.
I think as soon as Nikola Jokic is done with the bronze medal game tomorrow, he's back to Sombor, as you predicted he might be. Had the Serbians lost to the Americans, maybe in a blowout, as was expected before that bronze medal game. By the way, can you hold the torch again? Want to see that form.
Like this, man. Like, you can't, like, move.
That was good. You were a little shaky at first.
By the way, has anybody ever, like, blown the torch out while they had it? Like, you know what? Games are over. Like, I messed it up, man. We didn't even make it there. Yeah, so I guess we don't. Through rain, sleet, or snow, like, it will be delivered.
Yeah, okay. It's all good. I mean, if there was any time for the torch to blow out, it would have been during the downpour in Paris in the opening ceremonies here in 2024. That bad boy was still going. Yeah. Whatever lighter fluid they have deep in that torch, it was not on reserve by any means. I think the question before we hear from the people, DRS, is to you. Will you watch more of the closing ceremonies or more of preseason action on this Friday night in the National Football League?
Oh, it's good. Well, the Eagles are playing tonight, so of course I'm going to want to tune in for just a little bit. Quite frankly, I don't even know what channel. Like, I guess it's still going to be on the NBC main channel, which I do have a couple bones with NBC, by the way. Like, Team USA is playing yesterday in the middle of the afternoon in a game against Serbia, and we got to watch, like, synchronized swimming and or diving. I mean, get your priorities together, people. Look, as Jalen Hurts says, let's keep the main thing, right? Come on now. Don't mess it up.
What was it on USA Today? Was that the issue?
Well, I mean, if USA Today was a network, I would love it, but I think USA Network, yes. Yeah, so, yeah.
Somehow I got roasted. Tough scene. Yeah. All right, let's talk NFL preseason action and a couple of the clubs that are facing off tonight in the three games that we have. Friday Night Lights edition, preseason week number one. The Eagles and the Ravens. Who is going to have a better chance of contending for a Lombardi Trophy this year? That was the question in Fade the Public. So two of the five best prices to win a Super Bowl this season face off tonight in the Charm City in Baltimore. It's the Ravens and the Eagles. Who has a better chance of winning a Super Bowl? Which team is a better bet to win Super Bowl 59? The Ravens at a 10-1 number, the Eagles at a 13-1 number. Donnie, when this poll first opened up and the early votes were coming in, it was a little bit tighter of a contest. Now Baltimore starting to pull away. Nearly 61% of the public saying the Ravens are a better bet to win Super Bowl 59.
The one thing I know about the Ravens, and last year, by the way, the Ravens were my pick to win the Super Bowl. And quite frankly, we should be talking right now is, are the Ravens going to win back-to-back Super Bowls? The way they played in the playoffs, I don't want to say it was Lamar Jackson's fault because he certainly didn't show up when he needed to. But the absolute game plan that the Ravens came in, which got them beat, was so dumbfounding right now. It sort of takes a little bit luster off of the Ravens because theoretically, I thought they were the best team. And you watched them on Christmas night last year blow out the San Francisco 49ers, take the number one seat away, which means this is going to go through us at home and have them come up so lame in the playoffs, it hurts. But again, you're looking at the price points there on the poll, plus 1,000 for the Ravens, plus 1,300 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, granted, 60% of the votes coming in right now on the Ravens. I can see that 40% here roughly coming in for the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's why I voted for the Eagles, not because they're my team here. I just look at the road to getting to the Super Bowl being harder on the Ravens than is the Philadelphia Eagles. And you might say, well, Donnie, San Francisco 49ers are in the NFC. Yes, Kansas City is in the AFC. You get the point there. But just getting through your own division to win that and get maybe a top overall seed is going to be a little bit easier for me for the Philadelphia Eagles than it is for the Baltimore Ravens. Again, I would love it. The Ravens probably are my favorite regular season team with Lamar Jackson healthy. On a week-to-week basis, that offense is phenomenal because he is phenomenal. Something just happens to Lamar Jackson when the stakes are raised in the playoffs. He doesn't perform like his MVP self that we've seen in the regular season. So for me, I'll take the higher price point at the Eagles at a 13-1. But again, I have high hopes for the Ravens this year, but also recency bias does creep in. When you do get to the playoffs, we don't see the Ravens' best football. Just 2 years ago, we saw the Eagles toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and maybe they can regain some of that form. But just to make a long story short at this point, I think the Eagles' chances to get there are improved because I think they have a better chance to win their division than the Ravens have to win their own division. That's all.
Yeah, let's start with the storyline and the narrative. It is not really just a narrative made out of thin air. Lamar Jackson has a lot to prove in terms of postseason success. Now just 2-4, has not played in a Super Bowl. You could ask, were the Eagles a blip in 2022, or will we see them get back to that pantheon? I would say based on the coordinator hires, Kellen Moore as the OC, Vic Fangio as the DC, that Philadelphia is on track to get back to a Super Bowl this year. And at least this group has been there, led by the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Now let's go to the odds path and paint the picture. Philadelphia's win total 10.5. The over has the juice at minus 148. Baltimore also 10.5 for a win total. The over has the juice at minus 122. Philly slightly better than Baltimore in that perspective. But the Eagles a minus money favorite to win a division. Baltimore the favorites in the AFC North, but it's the most difficult division in all of football. Both teams same price to win their individual and respective conferences. Plus 550 for the Eagles, plus 550 for the Ravens. Both second best numbers. Baltimore shorter at a 10-1 price. Third best to win Super Bowl 59. Philadelphia fifth best price at 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. But Donnie, when you say that the division is more difficult for Baltimore, it's not just saying the AFC North is better. If the Ravens fail to win their division, they will not host a playoff game. They are not going to get an opening round bye. The Eagles have that opportunity if they win the NFC East as the odds expect. And home field advantage come the postseason is paramount. In my mind, I agree with you. I voted for the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win the NFC. I think there's a better chance Philadelphia plays for a Super Bowl.
And by the way, first week is going to go a long way. Eagles in Green Bay, that might be a tiebreaker. Ravens opening up against the Kansas City Chiefs, that might be a tiebreaker. We'll get a good head start after week number one here, Ben.
Absolutely so. We'll get you set for Olympic action up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A sad conclusion at the end of 2 weeks. This will be the final time on the early line. We will be previewing Olympic action. It's the final weekend of the Summer Games in 2024 over in Paris. Of course, tons of recaps coming your way on Monday morning here on the early line. But our final time to preview. And we have a historic streak at stake and a spot in the gold medal match today for Team USA women's basketball. Now a 15.5 point spread in favor of the U.S. against Australia in the first of two semifinals today over in Paris. Total 161.5. The United States, who has won 59 consecutive games in Olympic action dating back to 1992. One victory away from playing for its eighth consecutive gold medal. DRS, will the United States be playing in the gold medal match this weekend?
They will be. And from a handicapping perspective, it's hard for me because, you know, unlike the men's team where you're sort of dipping in a little bit here and there, and when the game gets out of reach, you turn it off. But yesterday, many of us watched that all the way through because the intrigue was Serbia was so good to start. You wanted to see if Team USA could come back. And as we were talking with Bill a little bit earlier on the show, it was like, wow, they came back within 5 or 6 points. Lead goes back up to double digits. That should be the end of it. But then you saw that second win from Team USA able to get across the finish line and head into that Olympic round. I haven't watched all that much of the ladies because we're just expecting dominant efforts all the way through an easy victory. So today, I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to that game, but under no circumstances. This isn't like, hey, you know, the Baltimore Ravens have won like 4 or 5 straight, you know, let's just say off seasons with the preseason games, excuse me. And this team hasn't lost since 1992. You want to talk about anybody sending me a text mid-afternoon, hey, Donnie, you better turn this basketball game on. Team USA is down 6 points with 4 minutes to go. That would be shocking. The expectations all the way through for the men's side and the women's side, we're going to get to the medal games and certainly win a gold medal. The expectations haven't changed for me, and I do expect a nice, easy victory by double digits for the Team USA. I just don't know if we can get to that 16.5 cover point.
The United States was tested early in the opening half against Nigeria in quarterfinal action. The U.S. only winning by 14, 88-74 as a pregame 26.5 point favorite. But the Americans are judged by dominance and what that margin looks like from a victory perspective. Asia Wilson has been Captain America for Team USA, 20 points, 11 boards against the Nigerians earlier this week. Her points prop 21.5. Brittany Griner into double digits in that game as well. No points prop up just yet for Jackie Young, who had the second most scoring output for Team USA against Nigeria with 15 points. If they do post the number on Young, I would take the over. She has been great from the guard spot for the Americans here during Olympic basketball. France and Belgium in the second semifinal on this Friday. The host nation in France, a 4.5 point favorite against the Belgians. There is a good chance, as the odds makers see it, that it will be Team USA versus Team France in both of the gold medal games in basketball at the Olympic Games, which would mean incredible atmospheres in each. Let's talk about some other notable Friday Olympic action already underway. The event that Donnie Wrightside was most looking forward to, breaking at Olympic Games. It's already started. The wind's breaking has already started. Don't call it break dancing. It shows you know nothing about Olympic competition. It's breaking. B-boys, B-girls there competing for medals on this Friday over in France. There are no odds associated, unfortunately, so no picks Donnie Wrightside can give out.
Yeah, Onyx back in the day said it best. B-boys make some noise and just slam. So there they're out there balling up. But you know what? I'm going to have to take off a little bit here and turn my television on and not pay attention to you, Ben, because I need to see this. Yeah, and by the way, it's breakdancing. It's not breaking. And also, how did this one slip by in the Olympics, by the way? Yeah, synchronized swimming. That's what we know it as. Don't give me artistic swimming, because I watch them like, I can't wait to see the synchronized swimmers only to get it explained to me. No. This is the actual competition itself. Stop trying to slip stuff by me here. It's breakdancing. It's not breaking, because if it was breaking, Ben, you would get up there with a plate, smash it, and be like, there, I'm breaking stuff. No, break dancing. So let's get the opinions out here correct.
Why can't you just adapt and evolve with the times? Change your lexicon.
Never was like
change your worldview.
It's never. It's never. You know, when it gets
break dancing hasn't even been in the Olympics.
In 2028, when it's back on its homeland, as we like to say, it will go back to breakdancing. Breaking, maybe the French just don't understand what we're actually doing in this competition. When it gets back to the homeland here in L.A., breakdancing will be official. But by the way, real quick, I saw the stage it's on. Like, they got the big beatbox in the background. Now, the question again is, I got to turn up the volume. Like, it's like it's Biggie Smalls, Tupac. Like, who are we listening to? And there has to be music, right? Like, it can't just be like, you know, you go and like, hey, you know what? Yeah. You can't post this on YouTube, Ben, where it's like, you know, this is a, what's the word I'm looking for? You get a restrictive notice. Like, hey, you're playing actual, you know, music from a notable source. Like, we can't have that where it's just like random music. Like, you got to have good music out there, no?
Right. And they certainly do. I believe the format is the committee, the judging group, whatever it is, they play a random song that the dancer does not know about. The song is played, and then must
adapt. What are we, freestyling? Oh, my goodness. It's like a rapper getting on there, like, just drop the beat down and just, you got to go hard. You can't sing one of your songs here. I don't like that, though. I need, like, so we're not choreographed. We're just doing what we feel like to the beat? Interesting.
Freestyle.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, at the Summer Games scheduled for L.A. in 2028, they're going to have to play various other events in various venues. They're playing softball, for instance, at the site of softball glory in the States, Oklahoma City. They should do breaking in the Bronx, where it originated, don't you think?
Or maybe a street in Queens where, you know, one of our, you know, compadres here, I heard, was a big-time break dancer back in the day in Queens, man. Come on now. Let's give a shout out to the people.
What if he gave up his job? What if he gave up his job at the Sports Grid Network to dedicate himself over the next 4 years to break?
Let me tell you something. Look, like, I don't know if people are moving, but when you move out here in these streets, you get cardboard boxes. Lay some of those cardboard down in the street, man, and bust a groove out there, man. You know what I mean? It can happen. It can happen.
It could. It certainly could happen. There is so much more to get to here in our Paris primer for this Friday and the final weekend of Olympic action over in France. Men's soccer gold medal match. The host nation in France, led by Thierry Henry, the favorite against Spain at minus 134. So much more from the Olympic Games coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The final weekend of Olympic action over in Paris. Let's get you set. On Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, it's the United States and the host nation, France, battling for a gold medal in men's basketball. The Americans, a 16-point favorite in the hunt for their fifth consecutive gold medal. DRS miracle, right? 1980 Winter Olympics, the big upset for the United States against the Soviets. A lot of people probably think that was the gold medal match. Yeah. It was not. The Americans had to come out and beat Finland, I am pretty sure, in the final. So with all of the dramatic comeback and all the theatrics we saw yesterday over Serbia, the Americans still have one more test to win gold against France.
Yeah, it's going to be something to watch it play out because I like, you know, we always talk about the bigness of an event, and a lot of that has to do with the stage that you're on. And the fact that France is the home nation going for a gold medal against the big bad Americans, that is fantastic theater to watch it play out. Now, do we think Team USA is going to win? Absolutely, we do. But I love the fact that France is getting to the final to add to that sort of atmosphere overall. And as we talked about earlier, Joel Embiid as the villain as he's playing in the Olympics right now, being there on that stage where the crowd is going to let him have it. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great to watch.
12 and a half points for JoJo. He has already been asked about the atmosphere he expects in Paris, where he has been getting booed the entirety of the Olympic Games because he does have French citizenship and maybe was going to play for France as they granted him citizenship to hopefully have him here for the Olympic Games. He already said he's going to give him the, you know what, I'm not sure I can say it. It rhymes with tuck it. Is what he's going to do, giving it back. I'm not sure if that's correct to say on national television airwaves. 12 and a half, that points prop for JoJo. 177 and a half is the total. And the Americans have scored a ton throughout these Olympic Games. Yesterday, 95 against Serbia, the least amount the Americans had scored in their five games, 103 points or more in the first four, including 122 against Brazil. I think the United States will dictate pace. 177 in a hook seems to be a relatively low total. Other events happening on Saturday. Women's soccer gold medal match. The Americans greater than a $2 favorite to knock off Brazil. It was supposed to be Spain, but the Brazilians upset the Spaniards in the semifinal. The Spanish side was a gold medal favorite before. The United States looking to bring back golden glory to the States.
Yeah, let's get back out to the pantheon there as being the best soccer nation in the world from a women's perspective. And they can do that here. Coming into the Olympics, certainly one of the favorites, but maybe some didn't have the expectations of Team USA taking gold. Now they have a chance to do it. And, Ben, they're favored to do it, which is key. This isn't going to be an upset. This is going to be a team that's expected now to win the gold medal.
And what a race it is right now in the women's golf tournament that started on Wednesday, round three today, final round Saturday, tomorrow. Rose Zhang of the United States was just currently at the top of the leaderboard. It seems as though she has doubled her 15th hole. She has fallen back to five under par. Lydia Ko, the Australian, tied atop at seven under. Nelly Korda, three under in her third round, just two shots back. Let's go to Sunday quickly here as well. Women's basketball gold medal game. The United States, a 15.5-point favorite on semifinal Friday against the Australians. They have won 59 consecutive games in Olympic action, hoping to make it 60 and 61 on Sunday for their eighth consecutive gold medal.
Yeah, and forget about them winning the Olympics themselves. We expect them to do that. The question we kept on asking is any team going to stay within single digits here of Team USA Women's? I don't know if that's going to be the case, but something I'll be watching. But we should have both gold medals, men's and women's, when it's all said and done.
Yes, we certainly should. A gold medal match in women's volleyball for the Americans on Sunday morning as well. Team USA, the upset in a five-set thriller yesterday over Brazil, the top seed in the Olympic tournament. Now the United States will take on Italy. The Americans an underdog at plus 184. The Italians the favored side at minus 240. I believe in Jordan Larson and the Americans. Give me the U.S. winning outright as an underdog. So much to get to here in our final weekend over in Paris in Olympic action. It's been a great 2 weeks, the RS, at the 33rd ever Olympiad.
Yeah, and also, I really enjoy the time slot that it's in. As we're doing a live broadcast right now, the Olympics are live. Yeah. Once we get off the show, you get to watch it in the afternoon. I think it's fantastic the way it played out. Not buried in the middle of the night, so you get to watch it live if you want, and then recap at night. I think it worked out perfectly so far in France. And Team USA really showing out in all lengths here. I love it.
Most gold medals entering today with 30, most medals overall with 103, and many more to be awarded this weekend in Paris. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think we forgot about baseball as we enter this weekend around MLB. Tons of baseball breakdowns around the bigs coming your way live right here for the next two segments from the bright mind of Donnie Wrightside live on the early line on Sports Grid. DRS, a race for the top spot in the American League Central that has become a tad more competitive because the Guardians are on a slide. Cleveland has lost five straight games entering a weekend set in Minneapolis against the Twins. Minnesota not all that far out from the number one spot in the AL Central. A doubleheader of action today in Minnesota. A makeup from early in April gets us started just a little bit after 2 p.m. Eastern time. The Twins a minus 138 favorite in the opening game against Cleveland. And then later tonight, a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern time, the Twins a slight favorite for game number two as well.
Yeah, the pressure's really going to build here today for the Guardians because they're coming into this game, again, playing a divisional opponent, but also understanding they're on a five-game losing streak and with a doubleheader. Doubleheaders aren't great for getting win streaks underway. You're just hoping that you're going to win one of these two games, which means you're probably going to be losing, worst-case scenario, what, Ben, 6 out of 7 games when it's all said and done. But also, game number one, Tristan McKenzie's going to take the mound. He's been bad this year. No statistics over the past 30 days, but take a look at his season. 339 batters faced, a 240 ISO power number against with a weighted on base percentage of 362. Now, if you're going to take a look at the opposing side pitcher, it's Bailey Ober. You might say, like, I don't really know that guy all that well. Well, Ben, I'm going to tell you right now, 26 eligible pitchers on my card today over the past 60 days with a minimum of 20 innings pitched. You know where Ober sits? Number two, with a 78 xFIP minus and an ERA of 2.40 and a Sierra number very manageable at 3.08. The better team in this game, game number one, is going to be Minnesota. Now, as I say that, you can't say, even in a doubleheader, you don't want to stress your bullpen out, right? You don't want to play, you know, superstars two games back-to-back if you don't need to. But you're telling me right now against a division opponent losing five straight games, and I'm saying they're going to lose game number one, Cleveland? You got to go max effort in game number two, regardless of what happens here, because you can't afford to lose seven in a row, including two more games to the Minnesota Twins. So that's something to watch for game number two. But game number one, I do like the Twins here.
The Guardians just a 3.5-game lead for that top spot in the American League Central from the odds perspective, down to just a minus 155 favored number. Cleveland often throughout a good majority of this MLB campaign has held a 5, 5.5, 6-game advantage in the American League Central. It is starting to dwindle. The Guardians on a 5-game skid. A reunion today in the Trop. Zach Eflin traded for by Baltimore from the Rays at the trade deadline will make his third start with the O's, but against his former team in Tampa. The O's need to keep winning games. There's a battle for the top spot in the American League East. Baltimore, a slight road favorite today at minus 134, total of 7.5. Now, Eflin has given up 5 earned runs in total in the 2 starts he has made for Baltimore, but he and the O's have won both of those first 2 starts in a Baltimore jersey.
Here's what you like too, right? Oh, Zach Eflin on the road. Typically, you pitch better at home. Well, technically, is this not a home game per se for Zach Eflin going back to play in Tampa Bay? So that's something to use. If you're out there saying, I love those home road splits, don't use them in this one, because technically, this was his home ballpark and understands how to pitch there. And also, yesterday, 8 innings, this team, the Baltimore Orioles, was held down before Blake breaking out in the 9th inning. I look for more damage today. Littell's not a great pitcher, and if you take a look at his last 60 days, a 108 xFIP minus, which is slightly above average, but an ERA approaching closer to 5. This is a team the Baltimore Orioles has done very well against right-handed pitching. So for me, I think Baltimore wins this game, and I do think you have some legitimate RBI props here. You know I love myself a little bit of Anthony Santander. I mean, 394 ISO power number through his last 81 at-bats against right-handed pitching. Yeah. The better team is Baltimore. They lost yesterday. They're going to win today.
Tanner Houck, the all-star for Boston, has not looked great here as of late. 6 earned runs given up as the Red Sox start a weekend set against the Houston Astros. 6 earned given up for Houck in his last start for Boston. But the Red Sox playing good baseball despite not being able to complete the sweep over KC this week at Kauffman. They won that series. The Red Sox have won 6 of their last 8. The Astros took the final 2 games of their midweek set against their in-state and divisional foes, the Texas Rangers. Boston, a home favorite today against Ronald Blanco and the Astros.
Yeah, there's some rain in the forecast. You see that total, 9.5, so you need double digits in order to cash in that ticket. If we do dance around the raindrops in Boston, 78-degree temperatures, which is nice, 16-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to left field. That's why that number is so high. But Ronald Blanco actually has decent statistics, Ben, over the last 60 days, if we include left-hander and right-handed batters and include them together. However, his last 47 left-handed batters that he's faced over the past month, a 341 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 380. Why is that important? 7 of the 9 batters anticipated tonight for the Boston Red Sox will be lefties. And I'm talking about the first 4 guys. Duran, 463 weighted on base percentage. Abreu, 493. Yoshida, 413. Devers, 481. You want to continue down? Dominic Smith, 411. You take a look at Sogard, a switch hitter, 367. And then you take a look at Rafael, who's actually a right-handed batter, 349 to bring up the rear in the 9 hole. So I'm looking at this performance. Bounce back probably on hand for your starting pitcher, but also Blanco is decent, just not against lefties. I think that's a recipe for success. They are a favorite for a reason tonight, Boston, and I think they win this game over the Astros.
The Red Sox leave KC after a series victory over the Royals, still trailing Kansas City by 1.5 for the 3rd and final American League wild card spot. A team in wild card contention trying to hold on to that 3rd and final spot, the New York Mets. They take the midweek set in Colorado against the Rockies. 9-1, the victory at Coors Field. Meanwhile, at home, the Mariners avoid a sweep against the Tigers. Down in the bottom of the ninth, the bases jacked for Mitch Haniger. A walk-off bases clearing three RBI double. Seattle gets the victory to avoid a sweep against Detroit yesterday, 4-3. The M's a slight home favorite today against the Amazons. What do you like in the opener of this weekend series?
Typically, when you see a game that's going to play in Seattle, your initial thought is going to be to the under. I'm actually the opposite on this. Take a look at that eight. Jose Quintana is going to be on the mound for the Mets. You take a look at him, his last 75 batters he's faced from the right-hand side, they've really gotten the best of him. 317 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage at 385, and taking a look at a walk percentage of close to 14%. That means runners are going to be on base. So the theory would be, let's get as many right-handed batters as we possibly can to line up against Quintana. Looking at the preliminary lineup, all nine batters for the Seattle Mariners will be right-handed batters tonight, so that should be an advantage. We're taking a look from a Mets perspective. We like their offense. Bryce Miller, though, take a look at his last 92 batters he's faced, Ben. An 090 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 260 here. So just by going on matchups alone, a slight price to the favorite for Seattle, even though the Mets are hot, I think the Mariners could be the better play tonight on that side of it.
A very intriguing game in terms of that postseason perspective. Again, the Mets, a half-game lead now over Atlanta for the third and final National League wildcard spot. Seattle, the win yesterday to avoid the sweep against Detroit. Houston had the day off. The Mariners and the Astros will enter this weekend tied atop the American League West. Game number two of a four-game set this weekend out in the desert between Arizona and Philadelphia. Not only the NLCS rematch from a year ago, but important based on postseason positioning for both the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. The Phillies have won three straight, final two in L.A., and last night in the opener against the D-backs as an underdog. They're now a road favorite, nearing $1.50 with Zach Wheeler at a -142 price on the mound.
By the way, Zach Wheeler is the better pitcher on the mound today. But by the way, Ryan Nelson, one of those guys you like to fade at the beginning of the year, he's really turned it around. Last 60 days, a 94 xFIP minus, an ERA of 3.50, and a very manageable Sierra number of 3.78. If we're taking a look at him on the diamond itself and not just those analytical numbers, the last 122 batters he's faced, take a look at this from the righty. A 127 ISO and a 282 weighted on base percentage. I told you last night we like the over out there, and they did get that. Today, maybe looking more towards a Phillies victory because I do think they do have the better pitcher on the mound, but I do think the ball stays in the yard. Maybe an under to look out for, even though both of these lineups are very good.
9.5 the total yesterday, 10 total runs. The Phillies taking the opener 6-4. Zach Wheeler +240. Second best price to win the National League Cy Young Award. These are the types of starts on a Friday night against a playoff contender that can move the market. More MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Braves down bad as of this moment. Atlanta has lost five consecutive games and for the first time maybe all season has fallen out of postseason spots as of this moment. A half game behind the Mets for the third and final National League wild card spot. Atlanta has to pull it together. They go with our guy Grant Holmes today on the road at Coors against the Rockies. -162, the number in favor of Atlanta against the worst team in the National League. That is Colorado. 10.5, now the total. The Braves weren't terrible offensively against Milwaukee, just a little bit lifeless. They did score 12 total runs in their last two games against the Brew Crew. It's just that Milwaukee scored 24 combined runs in each of those two victories for Milwaukee. Can Atlanta pick it up at altitude today against the Rocks?
I don't want to lay that heavy price, though. Let's just say -150 or higher on the Braves on the road. I don't think it makes all that much sense. But going against Colorado, they are the better team today. Let's take a look at Tanner Gordon, who's going to be on the mound for the Rockies on the season. He's actually only faced 91 batters. But having said that, Ben, the splits, 294 ISO against and a 394 weighted on base percentage. He has done very well, however, against left-handed batters, which is interesting as a right-handed pitcher. Where they're getting the best of him, it's from the right side. Last 36 batters he's faced, Ben, a 470 71 ISO power number and a 537 weighted on base percentage. And you might say, like, oh, that might be just in the last month. But if you add on another 12 batters over his season, that number is still a 413 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 539. So when you flip to it, maybe you don't want to go after the lefties, but there's a couple righties that are doing very well against right-handed pitching over the past month for the Braves. That's Austin Riley, 241 ISO power number, and Marcelo Zuna at a 341 ISO power number. If you want to throw in Orlando Arcia, still has 70 at-bats with a 258 ISO and a 415 weighted on base percentage. I do think the Braves get it together, and you're right about that. It's not as if, like, we worry about the Atlanta offense. Hey, shutout in game number one. They actually were scoring a decent amount of runs, but the pitching really let them down. So if the pitching lets them down in Colorado, maybe you don't want to lay that price. But having said that, there's still some RBI opportunities, even if they are juiced since being in Colorado. Riley, Ozuna, and Arcia make a lot of sense today if you're looking for an RBI option.
Again, the Braves now a half game behind the New York Mets for the third and final National League wildcard spot, a team at the All-Star break we expected to contend maybe in the NL wildcard race if they could hold on. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they have started to fade. They have dropped four in a row, six of their last seven. The Buccos now two games below 500 and four and a half back of a wild card position in the National League. The Dodgers not playing their best brand of baseball in the last 2 weeks. They've lost seven of their last 11, including the midweek set against Philadelphia at home. The Dodgers remain at the Ravine, and Jack Flaherty, the native Angeleno, makes his second consecutive start for LA. Darn good in his Dodgers debut. Six innings of work against Oakland, shutout baseball, seven strikeouts. Flaherty and the Dodgers greater than a $2 favorite tonight in Los Angeles. Is the price justified?
And the price is justified because the better pitcher on the mound certainly is going to be from a Dodgers perspective. Flaherty will get that in just a second. The Dodgers are home, and also just some heartbreaking losses as of late for Pittsburgh, and they're starting to reel a little bit. And it's not a great situation to say, well, let's fly from Pittsburgh and go out to Los Angeles, then stay on the West Coast and play some pretty quality opponents. And certainly you're trying to hang around that wild card streak. You're 4.5 games back. This could slip to 5, 6, and 7.5 games back with three or four teams above you trying to climb into that wild card spot. So this is danger zone for Pittsburgh. But if we are looking at the game itself, Jack Flaherty, last 91 batters he's faced, Ben, stellar. 071 ISO against, a 199 weighted on base percentage. If you just look at his season in totality, 440 batters he's faced, a 151 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 271. This was the key acquisition for the Dodgers that's supposed to propel them and help them in the playoffs once they get there. So for my money in this game today, I look at that total because it's not a terrible pitcher that you have in Mitch Keller. He's a veteran guy. It's not the guy that's going to have a spot start. He does have a decent ERA over the past 60 days, slightly elevated xFIP minus number. I do like the Dodgers, but I just don't know if I want to pay a 2-to-1 price in this environment. But I would be surprised if Pittsburgh comes away with the victory in this game.
Yeah, I would as well. Jack Flaherty, that key piece, the big acquisition made on deadline day, and the Dodgers are happy with the early return, I would say, as of right now. The Show Me State Showdown, a rivalry series, a unique weekend set. Only a two-game series in Kansas City between the Royals and the Cardinals. KC, a slight home favorite in Kauffman tonight, minus 116. Total of 9 against the Redbirds. Again, DRS, just today and tomorrow, an off day Sunday for both St. Louis and KC.
Now, is that, what's the reason for that, though? Is there a reason why they have an off day Sunday? Do they have, like, one of those, like, international games they're playing or something? That's kind of odd that they're going to take off a Sunday at that point. Yeah. So just a random schedule, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a random quirk in the schedule. Rivalry series, like what we saw during the Subway set, are really just two games, but both of those were in the midweek. St. Louis and KC have played earlier in the month of July, about a month ago now, on July 10th. They had a rainout, played a doubleheader. KC took both of those games on the road under the arch in the Lou. Not exactly sure what the reasoning is for the schedule, except we have seen rivalry series only be two games apiece. Regardless, for game number one, what's the play?
Yeah, if we're looking at this game overall, I like runs in this situation. 26 pitchers qualified on the card today. Dead last, that's Michael Lorenzen. Look at his last 30 days. A 173 ISO and a 371 weighted on base percentage. Left-handed batters have absolutely hammered him. I expect that to be continuing tonight. And also, from a Miles Michaelis perspective, he's really been leaking oil lately. Take a look at his last 94 batters he's faced, Ben. A 284 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 422. Basically evenly split between left-handed batters batters and right-handed batters. And you look at the middle of that lineup, it's going to be Massey, Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, Renfro, Melendez. They should all get the better of Michaelis. So forget about that coin flip scenario on the price point here. I think we get runs between these two teams. I don't trust these pitchers at all.
How about our two guys, DRS, ranking in the top five around the bigs in RBIs recorded this season? Bobby Witt Jr., 84. The Pasquatch himself, Vinny P., Vinny Pasquantino, also with 84. It's been the offensive production for KC. Yep. The Royals, a game and a half lead for the third and final spot in the AL wild card. St. Louis now 2.5 back of the National League wild card chase. DRS, we send you into the money line. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll see you on Monday.
Gonna enjoy. Be back Monday. Get after it.
Yes, you certainly will. We'll set the stage for preseason football in the NFL this weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a weekend full of NFL preseason action. Two games last night on a Thursday to kick off week number one around the National Football League of preseason games. Three games on this Friday. We have broken down for you. Nine games tomorrow, starting just a little bit after noon Eastern time, the Commanders and the Jets. And it goes all day long into the wee hours of Saturday night as well. Two more games on Sunday to round out the action. So let's take a look at some of the lines and some of the news and notes that you need to know around the National Football League. Let's start with the debut of number one. That would be Caleb Williams. He will play tomorrow for the Chicago Bears in their second technical game of the preseason. Of course, in action during the Hall of Fame game a week ago, Thursday in Canton, Ohio, Caleb Williams did not suit up or line up. He will start tomorrow for the Bears on the road in Buffalo against the Bills. Sean McDermott, though, he takes NFL preseason action relatively seriously and believes in its significance. Josh Allen in the starters for the Bills expected to play close to the opening quarter of action. Buffalo a 2.5-point favorite, total of 38.5. If you are going to see the starting units out there on both sides, because again, it's not just the quarterback, it's the wide receivers, it's the running back, it's the O-line. I like some points on a nice Saturday in Western New York. 38.5 is that number. It's the debut for Caleb Williams in an NFL preseason game in a Bears uniform. We'll talk offensive rookie of the year odds in just a moment. Number two overall pick for the Washington Commanders gets the start tomorrow on the road in MetLife against the New York Jets. New York a 2.5-point underdog, and I agree with the spread. I wouldn't mind laying it with the Commanders under a field goal right now. 34.5 is that total. Robert Saleh for Gangrene already saying early on during training camp that Aaron Rodgers would not appear at all in preseason action. How about some of the other notable games on a Saturday and into Sunday? The Vikings, J.J. McCarthy will not start. It's Sam Darnold for at least a couple of possessions. Minnesota 3-point underdog against the Raiders. No true indication yet out of Las Vegas who that starting quarterback is going to be. But we showed you odds earlier during camp on the FanDuel Sportsbook in the QB competition race in Las Vegas. Aiden O'Connell, actually the slight odds on favorite and has the edge right now over Gardner Minshew. One of my favorite betting and handicapping spots for preseason games. Is there a quarterback competition for that number one job or even a reserve role? If there is, I like to look to that side as an audition. I think the Raiders are correctly favored on the road as a field goal favorite. But a couple of QB competitions that will be featured in Minneapolis. Plenty of other games on a Saturday. Kyler Murray is not going to play for the Cardinals in this preseason despite being fully healthy. Jim Harbaugh makes his debut as the Bolts head coach for the Chargers at home in Los Angeles on Saturday. And then let's go to a couple of games on Sunday that you will see. The Broncos and the Colts. How much can we see out of Zach Wilson? How much will we see out of Bo Nix, who was listed as the number three, the third string quarterback in that Broncos quarterback room with the initial depth chart that was released earlier this week. I would expect to see a lot of Knicks in the second half, maybe look for a live line or just the Broncos laying it on the money line at minus 120. So now let's go to the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year odds, where Caleb Williams is the favorite for Chicago, plus 140. Marvin Harrison Jr. of Arizona, Jaden Daniels from Washington, tied for the second best price at 7-1. Before you get the drop off to a couple of other rookie wide receivers, Malik Nabers for New York, and of course Xavier Worthy for Kansas City. Here is the point on Caleb Williams. In the last 10 years, only four quarterbacks have won the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year award, including C.J. Stroud last year in Houston. So it's easy to see those parallels into a quarterback performing. But one of the reasons it's difficult for a QB to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, if you're a high draft pick, you often go to a bad situation where your team's expected to have a losing record. And fair or unfair, wins and losses tied to the QB spot more than any other position on the gridiron. But if you are Caleb Williams and you find yourself in a good position in the Windy City where the Bears are expected to have a winning record and contend for a playoff spot, if Caleb can do that and bring the Bears to the postseason or even a winning record, he is going to win the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year hardware. And I think it's worth a bet at this moment at plus 140 to win that award. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Early Line will return on Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern on Sportsnet.